Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
No matter what the
time, gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustain.
Sometimes you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him.
Sustain me.
My Lord. Jesus.
Sustain.
Oh, yes, he does.
Sustains me.
Late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me.
When I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me.
Trouble.
God is sustaining.
Trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you freeze.
Amen. Praise be to God. God is sustaining me. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 날 어겨줘서 위와 컴컴할렐루야 아 아시아 세번 엠페니퍼 유누나 어겨줘서 야며 사위와 컴컴할렐루야
which means God, my rock. We bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of you, of who you are, we find a firm foundation to build our life. You provide our salvation and the stability of our times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
From the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God.
heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice and
say, awesome. Awesome.
Come on and say, awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and say, awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Come on, somebody say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and participate in our Bible study, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Let us pray. El Shaddai, which means Almighty God, you are great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways reach higher than our own. You surround us with the blessings of your provision as you covenant with us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of the earth are nothing compared to you, who sits enthroned in might and valor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Spirit, overflow in my heart and permeate all my is yours, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh my soul is yours, oh my soul is yours, my soul is yours, so I want
God.
care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Oh,
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we are waiting, I will play another selection until our speaker arrives. I normally give...
Oh, wow. Maybe she's celebrating her birthday.
Could be. She didn't say
anything.
Unless
she's saying anything,
so. No.
You were told us.
Right. All right. So I will, like I say, play our inspirational music until our speaker arrives. Praise God. To give a hand clap praise to our very own Barbara Amore.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, to
so glad to be with you.
Amen. Bless, thank you.
Oh, praise God.
Blessing and pain. Both.
Oh, Thank you for the birthday wishes. I'm going to start with prayer. Precious Lord, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assembled to say thank you. Lord God, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day of fresh compassion and love and kindness, your unconditional love, Father God, favor, mercy, grace. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do, and everything you're doing right now. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to see another year, another day. Thank you for that, Lord God, because I know you didn't have to do it. But I am forever grateful. Bless each and every person that's on this line. Bless their families. Teach you their needs, Father God. Heal and touch right now. And again, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And I pray that this lesson will be encouraging and enlightening and facilitated and received in love. Thank you, Lord. All these blessings I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who do we have on the line tonight?
First Lady and myself and you.
Okay. Welcome. How you feeling?
Better. A little better.
Did you get the test?
I got it done at CDMD, so it takes a couple of days to get the results.
Oh. Okay. Well, you're feeling better, so that's good. And I guess you're quarantining, right? So. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to pick up Basic Theology, chapter 26, talking about the reality of demons. And we spoke about the origins of demons and what they are. What are they again? What are demons? Hello?
It's here.
I don't know what you can say.
Okay. So
actually, when I was looking at this lesson, it's like all the things that it says that it is, but then at the end, the last verse of the chapter say that it's not. So,
okay. Well, what do you think they are?
Oh, well, I kind of A, that they were spirits, you know. But then I'm like, no, that is not true, because as God said, you know, once the body is dead, doesn't walk around. It's not they're not tormented souls. Mm.
Well, what do you say?
I think that they are demons. They're like fallen angels that followed Satan.
Okay, and so we realized, too, that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he wasn't dead. So he came out alive. Amen?
Oh. He was alive.
So we're going to pick up in part C, unless there's another comment or question.
So, I mean, yeah, okay.
Nope, I go with Hilda. Leave their fallen angels. With Satan.
Well, that's what they were originally. They were fallen angels,
yeah,
cast out of heaven because they were following Lucifer. And Lucifer, who was Lucifer following?
Himself.
Right.
Lucifer was following his pride.
Himself.
Yeah, he was following
his
pride.
His own.
He was full of pride.
Well, yeah, that's why I said himself, his own egotistical self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, see, they are the offspring of the union described in Genesis 6, 1 to 4. We're talking about the origins of demons. Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Nadine, would you get that? And then when I ask you for it. To validate this suggestion requires at least two assumptions.
Sure.
A, the sons of God are angels. Hello?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought it was asking a question.
I was going to read it, but you said hold it until you're ready for it, right?
Yeah, that's the routine. You know the routine. Okay. So, B, this offspring were not human.
So, no, I'm fine with it. No, that's what I said. No, I'm fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. I'll start again. They are the offspring union described in Genesis 6, 1 through 4. To validate this suggestion requires at least two assumptions. A, the sons of God are angels, and B, the offspring were not human. Evangelist, I'm getting an echo. Can you correct that, please? That the sons of God were angels is a possible view, but that the offspring were demons is most unlikely. This would have to mean that the offspring were Mongols, part human and part angelic, either the Nephilim or the mighty men of renown, as we see in verse 4, who were destroyed in the flood and whose disembodied spirits then became the demons. Any thoughts about that before you read it? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Nadine?
They're such a long pause.
Yeah,
I don't quite understand it.
If you're hearing me or not, that's why I'm...
No, we hear you.
I'm not talking about you so much. I was asking.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Would you read Genesis 6, 1 through 4, please?
I can hear you. Sometimes I take a minute. Sister Barbara, sometimes I take a minute to think about your question. I have Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Okay. I don't want that. It goes. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. Sons of God saw the beautiful women, and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes, the famous warriors of ancient times."
Any thoughts about
really
that?
Interesting. I don't think I've ever read that.
Okay.
Were they not?
Yeah, I mean, I never read that before. That's, so we'll have to read that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Evangelist, what are you saying?
No, I was saying that it's saying that they were, where the women were having children for these, what do you call that, Nephilim? Yeah, Nephilim. They were...
The mongrels.
Right. Yeah. But they were still fallen angels.
Yes, giant Nephilites.
Yes. Well, right. They were still a fallen angel.
I don't think
angel.
These Nephilites are...
No, there's certain... Yeah. Go ahead, Nadine, what you were saying.
Looks like the Nephilites were human. They were like giants, though.
Right. But aren't they like from the race of Goliath? Because Goliath was like, he was a giant. So are they like from his lineage?
Well, right now we're in Genesis. Not that that means that it can't be so.
Look it up.
But this was before I'm breaking up.
No.
So, but this was before Goliath was mentioned.
Okay.
They said they were part human and part angels. In other words, one of their parents was an angel and the other one was a human, and so they became this giant offspring that they called mongrels, a mix. But they were also strong, so they were mighty men or renowned, they were well known. But they say right here that they were destroyed in the flood, and their disembodied spirits then became the demons. This is just a, you know, a hypothesis, really. All right, let's go on.
Okay.
B.
Yes,
they
are the hypothesis.
This view states that the demons are the angels who rebelled with Satan. In support of this are the following considerations. Satan is designated the prince of the demons, and we see that in Matthew 12 and 24. Evangelist, would you get that when I'm ready?
Mm-hmm.
Indicating that since their leader, Satan, is an angel, the demons must also be angels, but fallen as Satan is. Any thought about that?
No.
Sounds right to me. I mean, yeah.
Indicating that he is the leader, but he was also an angel. And the demons must also be angels because they were fallen as Satan is.
Right.
Okay.
Read Matthew 12 and 24, please.
Sure. But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Amen. So how can Satan cast out Satan?
Right. So, we know that Satan has well-organized ranks.
Yeah, that
angels.
Was Jesus' answer to them. That you're so crazy. What Satan cast out?
Excuse me?
Hmm?
We know that Satan has well-organized ranks of and further his purposes. Two of these ranks are labeled rulers and authorities, which are the same designations for two of the ranks of good angels, Ephesians 3:10 and 6:12. Nadine, get 3:10, if you would. Evangelist, get 6:12, Ephesians.
Okay.
This seems to indicate that the same kinds of beings make up the personnel of these ranks, and therefore that the evil beings are fallen angels. In several places, demons are called spirits, though unclean spirits, which associates them with the spirit world of angels, not humans. For example, the demon referred to in Matthew 17:18 is called an unclean spirit in the parallel account of Mark 9:25. The same equation of demons and spirits is found in Luke 10:17-20, also according to Matthew 8:16. The Lord healed many demon-possessed people by casting out the unclean spirits from them. We must acknowledge that nowhere in the scriptures are demons directly said to be fallen angels, but the evidence just cited seems to point to the conclusion that they are. So if you would get Ephesians 3:10 and then 6:12, and then we're going to go into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay? Matthew again.
Okay. Ephesians 3:10 says, order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, the church. And 6:12?
Yeah.
Reading that? Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So that proves that that ranking occurs both in the
Okay, so Evangelist Reed, Matthew. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Matthew?
Matthew 17 and 18, please.
Okay. Hear you.
17 and 18 says.
Nadine, get Mark 9:25 after that, please.
Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him.
Okay.
From that moment, the boy was well. Amen.
Okay. So what happened there?
He rebuked the demon out of the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And from then the boy was healed because Jesus cast out the devil from him.
Okay, so for Jesus to cast out the devil from him, how was it in the child?
I don't understand what you mean. How was it in the child? 17.
It was in him, then it was out of him. So once it was cast out of him, what form was it in the child?
A demon. Oh.
What form was the demon in the child?
And he was an unclean spirit in the child.
All right. Right. A spirit.
Right.
That's what we're claiming that it is, a spirit.
Spirits,
a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a man in a whatever color suit. You know, they're standing on your shoulder and you got the angel on the other, back and forth, back and forth. It's a spirit. And sometimes you can be in a situation where all seems well and then the evil spirit comes upon the individual. Amen? So it's a spirit. Maybe somebody stepped on their toe. Maybe somebody, you know, looked at them. Amen. No. But it's a spirit. And it's everywhere. It's in churches. It's in homes. It's everywhere. Amen. Mark 9 and 25.
Yes. Now, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running together, rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him, to him no more.
So what do you think about that?
Not only did he command the spirit out of the spirit of mute death, but not only did he, command it to come out, he also told him, commanded it, don't enter him anymore either. So stay away from him. Out and stay away.
And so how was God, Jesus, excuse me.
It was interesting that it was the spirit of death.
How was Jesus able to do that? How might be the wrong word, but what made him able to do that?
Jesus is all powerful. This is God.
Because
he's all powerful.
Amen. And he has the authority
to do that.
You know, I mean, he's in
the
charge.
Authority.
Amen. Yep. So others may be his disciples, and they try to do certain things, and it doesn't, the spirit does not move. All right, they don't have the authority.
Yeah, and their faith was not that strong. That's why they couldn't cast them out.
Well, those had the faith, then Jesus told them in one instance that
then they were, once cast, they was.
Huh? And then in one case, Jesus told the disciples.
Once they did it in the name of Jesus, were able to.
Okay, I'm going to read Luke 10, 7 through 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Any comments on that? Okay, then just get Matthew 18 and 16.
Yeah, Jesus gave them power to do what he was able to do.
Matthew 8 and
18.
Matthew's 18.
I'm sorry, 8 and 16. You're right.
Okay.
Matthew 8 and 16.
That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirit with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. Amen.
Amen.
Because he had the authority to cast them out. So mm-hmm. when he told yes. them to come out, they had no choice but to come out.
Amen. And I'm reading the King James Version, and it says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word mm-hmm. and healed all that were sick. So he just said the word, and they flee. You
That's
know,
right.
just say the word, and they mm-hmm. flee, because they are under
right.
subjection to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. So, I think I read all of that section, right?
Yeah.
You must acknowledge that
Amen.
Nowhere in the scriptures are demons directly said, yes, to be fallen angels, but the evidence just seems to point to the conclusion that they are. Okay, part three. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
The confinement of some fallen angels. Mm-hmm. The scriptures clearly indicate the two groups of fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
One consisting of those who have some freedom to carry out Satan's plans, and the other who are confined. What does that mean?
What do you mean, confined? That they
no, that little sentence. Some are...
They're pretty stable.
Hold it a second. Listen, hold it. We got to respect one another. Somebody's talking, please. Allow them to finish. Okay, this question was, what was I referring to? I wasn't talking about confined. I was talking about the whole sentence. And I'll read it again. The scriptures clearly indicate two groups of fallen angels, one consisting of those who have some freedom to carry out Satan's plans, and the other who are confined. The question was, what does that mean?
What does it mean that Christ have to give
take it that
give
it
them
means
permission.
That.
Well, this didn't say anything about getting permission right here, but I think
yeah,
you have to read a little first.
They can't do anything unless Christ is God is still in control.
Sounds like to me.
Go ahead.
We let one finish, Nadine. Let one finish before you
But it sounds like to me, because we know that God gave. Sounds like to me. So she did finish. Did she finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you finish, Hilda?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, did you finish, Hilda?
Yes, I did. Can you hear?
I can hear, but it seems, I don't know what's happening. It just seems awkward, you know, hearing and talking. It just seems so awkward now. I don't know why. When I think about that, I think about, you know, that you have, so you have, like, Satan, who has free reign to, you know, because he's coming here and he's going there. Remember, Satan had free reign to roam freely
mm-hmm.
over this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about those who are confined, I think about those who may enter someone else's body. So I don't know, you know, how they enter the body. It confined to that person, as opposed to having, you know, the freedom to roam don't know, just thought.
So you're saying your thought is that the confined ones are basically possessing a body, that they're, the individual is demon possessed, so they are restricted to that one body and they can't, basically, they have no freedom.
Yes.
That's a nice thought. Let's go on and see. Of those who are confined,
yes,
some temporarily so, while others are permanently confined in Tartarus. Second Peter, turn my page right here, in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. All right, so Nadine, get 2 Peter 2:4 when I ask for it. Evangelist, get Jude 6. And it says, the Greeks thought of Tartarus as a place of punishment lower than Hades. Those temporarily confined are in the abyss. Luke 8:31, Revelation 9:1-3 and 11. Some apparently consigned there to await final judgment, while others will be loosed to be active on the earth. Revelation 9:1-3, which was, would have been already read, and 11:14 and 16:14. So, I think I said Nadine first, right? 2 Peter 2:4. And then Jude 6.
Yeah. 2 Peter 2:4. If God did not spare the angels who sinned, held them captive in Tartarus, chains of darkness, handed them over to be kept for judgment.
I have a question. It says that Tartarus was a place of punishment lower than Hades. What do you guys think about that?
You mean there's a place that's deeper than hell?
Yeah, that's below hell.
That's what this says. Yes, Tartarus.
I don't know, but the only place I know was about is Earth, heaven, Earth, and hell. So if there's anything that's lower than that, I don't know. I don't think.
Well, we're finding out about it now. And it says those temporarily confined in
the
abyss.
We just learned about it.
Yeah. Confined are in the abyss, which we'll see in Luke, and some apparently consigned there to await final judgment, while others will be loosed to be active on the earth. So, Evangelist, get Jude 6, please.
Okay. Jude 6 says, and I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority. God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment.
That's what we were just kind of talking about.
Yeah.
The demon, what? Wow. Finish that. The demons were subject to the authority of God. And right here, as you just read, it says that there were certain angels that were not, they left that position. They left the habitation. So now, in their going out and their going off or whatever you want to call it, leaving, they were under their own subjection. They were no longer under the authority of God. So they were doing what they wanted to do.
Wow.
Any other thoughts about that? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Luke 8 and 31. Evangelist, read that?
No.
What happened? Hello?
I don't know if Lady Nadine is saying something.
Anyway, I was asking you to read Luke 8 and 1.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. You hear me? You hear talking?
And yes. Nadine, get Revelation 9, 1 through 3 and 11, please. Luke 8 and 31.
Okay. Ready?
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. Amen.
Now, where could that be?
The bottomless pit is hell.
But we just read that something below hell.
Below hell.
Tartarus.
Yeah, right. They are down there.
Tartarus.
He asked them not to send them there because that's where they will be tortured until Judgment Day.
All right. Let's see what Revelations 20 and 3 says. Revelation without the S. 1 minute. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Talking about being confined and being loosed. Who's that talking about?
Satan.
Amen. So we understand he's going to be confined, right?
Yes.
For what period?
He's going to be confined for 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
And then let loose again.
Yes.
So right now, is Satan loose or confined?
Mm-hmm. He's loose.
Why you say that?
Because he's down here roaming.
He doesn't get confined
until Christ comes. Why you laughing, Survivor?
No,
is that right?
We're not laughing at you. I'm not laughing
at
you.
I know, but I'm saying, is it not right?
Yeah, he's confined. He's loose right now.
Right.
They call him the prince of this world right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as in all of his princedom, we have to remember that we have a king.
Amen.
You know, I mean, the devil does what he does with his demons. He's not omnipresent, so he's not present everywhere at the same time. But he does have imps and demons, and their spirits. And they can be, who knows where, they can be anywhere. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So let's look at, what is it, 9 and 1 through 3. And you may as well read 14 also, Nadine. Revelation 9, 1 through 3, 11, and then 14, please.
11 and 14?
Yes, 1 through 3, and then 11 and 14.
Okay. And the fifth angel blew the trumpet. The fifth angel blew the trumpet. I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the key, the shaft of the abyss, given to him. He opened the shaft of the abyss. Smoke went up from the shaft like smoke
a great furnace. The sun, the air, were darkened by the smoke from the shaft. Out of the smoke, locusts came to the earth. Power was given to them by scorpions. The earth has power. 11 is, they have king over them, angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, he has the name Polion. And 14, and the voice said, the sixth angel who held the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound the great Euphrates River.
Amen. What do you think about that?
Just confirmed those who are confined, waiting.
Amen, amen.
As they suffer final judgment.
Who's going to suffer?
The fallen angels.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Evangelist?
Revelation 16 and 14 says, they are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty.
Wow. Thank you. Is there another name for that great judgment day battle is supposed to take place?
Armageddon.
Amen. All right. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Excellent. So we're going to go on. Why are some intolerant? It is a result of their original sin of rebellion with Satan. Then why are not all fallen angels there? And so that's a good thing to think about, too, because he took how many out of the, how many, not he took, how many were kicked out with him from heaven?
A third.
A third of the angels were kicked out. But this is saying that the original rebellion with sin, not all of the fallen angels were intolerant. Okay? And why not Satan himself? Satan's not even there. Okay? Confinement and intolerance for some of the fallen angels must be punishment for some sin other than the original one, and a unique sin at that. Some suggest the unnatural sin of Genesis 6, 2 through 4, committed by some of the fallen angels called sons of God in the passage, caused their confinement in Tartarus. So you want to look back at Genesis 6, 2 through 4? And we talked about the sons that were mongrels, giants, and angels, humans rather, and angels combined, that made it with the fair, beautiful women of the earth. And so for this, they're suggesting it was an unnatural sin that committed them to have to be in Tarsus and to be confined. Amen? Can we read that again? Genesis 6, 2 through 4? Who read that, Evangelist?
Yeah. No, Nadine.
Yeah. I have it. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you.
Dean. the sons of God saw beautiful women, took any they wanted as their wives. And the Lord said, it will not put with humans such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be more than 120 years. Those days, and for some time after, giant Ephelites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, gave birth to children, became the heroes, famous warriors of ancient times.
Amen. Thank you.
Goliath. They were the giant messes were people probably 9 or 10 feet tall. This same Hebrew term was used to name a tall race of people in Numbers 13 and 33, which was Goliath.
All right. All right. I want to see what the message says.
Numbers 13 and 33. To the yes. Goliath, a Nephilite.
Uh-huh.
So, Goliath was considered a Nephilite?
Yes, it says these giant Nephilites were people probably 9 or 10 feet tall. And this same Hebrew term was used to name a tall race of people in Numbers 13:33. Goliath, who was 9 feet tall, appears in 1 Samuel 17. The giants used their physical advantage to oppress the people around them. That's what the commentary says.
Okay. I want to go back to Genesis 6.
Okay.
I'll read from 1 to 4. It says, giants in the land. When the human race, and this is from the message, when the human race began to increase with more and more daughters being born, the sons of God noticed that the daughters of men were beautiful. They looked them over and picked out wives for themselves. So these are the sons of God who noticed the daughters of men. Mm-hmm. Then God said, I'm not going to breathe life into men and women endlessly. Eventually, they're going to die. From now on, they can expect a lifespan of 150 years. This was back in the days and also later when there were giants in the land. The giants came from the union of the sons of God and the daughters of men. These were the mighty men of ancient lore, the famous ones. Amen. Let me just go into a little. It says, Noah and his sons. God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagine evil, from morning to night. God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation, make a clean sweep. People, animals, snakes, and bugs, birds, the works. I'm sorry I made them. But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. Amen. So I just needed a little clarification on that, talking about the beautiful daughters of humans marrying or being with the sons of God. And we also, and the sons of God were considered angels, correct?
Well,
and so the sons of God were considered angels, and we know we read
sons of God were considered angels.
So they did not procreate, remember? We talked about angels not having babies.
Right. Okay, so
next paragraph. Though angels do not reproduce, just what I was saying, after their kind, that is, do not produce baby angels, they may have been permitted to cohabit with human women on this one occasion to produce human offspring. So although we have heard, learned, remember that they don't, angels don't reproduce, they don't make baby angels, but on this one occasion, they were allowed to produce human offspring. However, the exceptional nature of this permission, which is contrary to all we know about, constitutes the weakness in this view. But if it was permitted on this single occasion, so they're making it sound like it only happened one time, it only emphasizes the uniqueness of this incredibly monstrous sin that resulted in the permanent confinement of the angel participants in the prison of Tartarus. The human partners in the sin, of course, perished in the flood. Noah. Other views of the sons of God in this passage include A, the godly line of Seth cohabited with the ungodly women of the line of Cain, and B, the line of Cain. The weakness of A lies in the need to believe that the godly and ungodly lines were kept distinct through all the years before the event of Genesis 6 occurred. So before Genesis 6, before the angels and the humans, you know, got together, they were distinct. They were separate. They didn't cohabit like that. Okay? The weakness in B, a view suggested in the Aramaic Targum, is the lack of evidence that a monarchical system of rulers, meaning a king, had been established in the line of Cain by this time. Though I personally incline to the fallen angel view, this is an interpretive problem we cannot solve. So the author doesn't know, and it's, you know, he's saying it's open to interpretation. Whatever you gain out of reading it, you know, your search, your research, whatever, is still open to it's not conclusive. And I read this last paragraph. It says, what was the specific sin involved by whomever committed? Three answers are possible. One, if angels were involved then, the sin was angelic cohabitation with human beings. What does that mean?
So that does it mean that they got together with the humans?
Yes.
Just
considered their sin. That's why they're in Tartarus, because they get together with the human beings. They weren't supposed to do that.
Right.
Okay.
You saying something?
Right.
Number two, if the sons of God, hello?
There's a delay in First Lady's when she speaks.
Did you have to add something to that?
Okay, go ahead.
Two, if the sons of God were human, it was the sin of marrying indiscriminately without regard to spiritual condition. If Sethites or royal status, if kings were involved. So it was another sin to marry indiscriminately without regard, without thinking about the spiritual condition. As the Sethites, which to me means they came after Seth, or royal status, if kings were involved. So kings, you know, could do what they wanted to do. So they may have condoned the relationship, you know, between the angels and the humans or whatever. So it was the sin of polygamy, because verse 2 may be understood to mean that they, whoever they were, took all the wives they chose. The offspring were men of strength and military prowess. The Nephilim probably lived on the earth before these marriages and were not the result of them. So the Nephilim probably lived before these kinds of interactions came, and they were not the result of them. So seems like it's saying they weren't a part of that interracial or interhuman, interspecies intercourse. All right? Mm-hmm. And to sum up the origin and confinement of some of the angels, one might chart the concepts like this. So we're not going to stay with this. Like I said, we're going to look at it on our own, any kind of opinions about it. If you choose, we can discuss it next week, God willing, okay? Any questions before we close for the evening?
Nope, this was an awesome lesson about the demons and the fallen and the humans getting together.
I just
want to
say that, you know, the poor women, because not like they had a choice.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mhm.
Well, that's what they get for being so beautiful.
Yeah, I feel like the women, they didn't have a choice. They were just snatch them up. Like, really? They got punished too. Well, everybody. Well, that has nothing to do with the fact that they all flood just wiped that whole for a generation of people out, so.
Yeah. And so why did God allow the flood? We can just talk about that for a minute before we close. Why did God allow the flood anyway?
Because the people were wicked.
Right. All right.
That's why God was sorry that he made them. Because
only one.
They were a wicked set of people.
And remember, Noah was preaching for, well, he lived to be, he was preaching for 120 years. It took him that long to build the ark.
Yes.
So they had a lot of time to recant, you know, to change their wicked ways. And they were laughing and, oh, he's building an ark. We haven't seen any rain. He's a crazy old man. You know,
yeah.
They didn't believe. They failed to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right. So that's the thought. And going to ask Lady Nadine to take us home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for this lesson, Lord God. It opened our eyes up, Lord God, to things that we never knew before, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank you and praise you for always revealing new things to us, Lord God, through Sister Barbara, Lord God. And thank you for her teaching, Lord God. We thank you for relation knowledge that you have provided with her, God, so that she can share it with Lord God. Thank and praise you, Lord God, because you are just such an awesome God, and we love you, Lord God. And Lord God, we just want to thank you for Sister Barbara. Thank you for another year, Lord God, that she's here with us, Lord God. Happy birthday to her, Lord God. You blessed her the day she was born, and we just thank and praise you for her, Lord God. And Lord God, I just want to say a special prayer again for Evangelist Hilda, Lord God, as she goes through her pain. Lord God, open up a door, Lord God. Find a way, Lord God, to relieve her pain, Lord God. We know you are able, Lord God, and we're just going to wait on you, Lord God, because I know, Lord God, you don't want any of your children to suffer, Lord God. So we're just waiting on you, Lord God, to take away pain if it be in thy will. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Addiction.
Everybody stay safe. Stay
you too. Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Thank you. I just want to say that, like the class, I'm learning along with you. Don't think that I have, you know, all this knowledge. I'm learning along with you. And what I don't know, I try to look it up. And I don't always get to look it up before the class, but I'm learning along with you, too, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Good
night, everybody.
Amen.
What did you say, Sister Barbara?
My card yet.
No, it's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. You may not get it till next week, but it's coming.
Well, I'm just saying, today is my birthday.
I know, but I remember the card went all the way around to the first lady, and then first lady have to send it to me, and then I just got it. I was, you know, no mind. It was just, you know, a whole roundabout thing. But you'll get the card next week. Praise be to God.
God.
Yeah, it was too roundabout.
I guess, thank you for you thinking about me, so.
Of course, you always think about
me. It was much
too
roundabout. I mean, I yeah.
Would you say
love
first
you
lady?
All.
Okay, everybody.
Okay,
have
bye.
A wonderful night. Love you guys.
Night. Have a great night, everybody.
Love you all.
You too. Hope she you feel better, first lady.
Yeah. You too.
Amen. I know something was wrong with her phone tonight because it was...
Yeah, it's on a delay.
Yeah. And that delay, you know, it could be a pain in the neck. Sometimes it has to do with the Wi-Fi in the house. If you got too many objects on and you know how, you know, the equipment and stuff that's there, so it interferes with the service.
Right,
because I used to go through the same thing, and it was like, oh, you want to pull your hair out.
Right.
Anyway, you enjoy the rest of your evening, and God bless
you. Thank
you. You will be getting your cards next week.
In another month, okay. Thank you.
Well, I mean, if I mail it off tomorrow, you're still not going to get it until next
you
week.
You didn't even mail it yet?
Because I just got it from her.
No, that's not what I said. I thought it was recent. Okay.
No, it should have been mailed way before, but First Lady held on to it. I don't know why, but... She should have just mailed it on to you, you know. But anyway.
Okay,
it's
well.
It's going to be a belated card. Let's
yeah, I know.
That
tell me about it. But I thank you anyway, okay?
You're welcome.
When you get a minute, drop it off in the mailbox. Good.
I will. The card is already... signed with your address, everything on it. I think it got some stamps on it. I don't know why she didn't just put it in the mail. That's all she had to do.
Yeah, because I know Valerie told me she had it about, 3 weeks ago?
Right. And then she took her time and mailed it to First Lady. First Lady took her time to mail it to me.
Well, we're not going to do it like anymore. We don't
no.
do it like that. That's
no,
not,
no. Not at
necessary.
All. Right.
But anyway. God bless you.
God bless you,
I know
too.
That we're looking for it every day because it hasn't even been mailed yet, so.
No, but I'll let you know you should how many days it would take for you to get it because, you know, with the shortage of the
it should only take 2 days. That's how long Valerie took to get hers. 2 days.
Okay. All right.
I mailed it on Wednesday. She got it on Friday, I think.
Okay. All righty.
Have a blessed one.
You too.
Hey. Shalom.
I'm not going to play the music. I'm just going to close us out.
Okay, I don't know if I'm going to be on Saturday. I have a lot of stuff going on, and I have a wake at 10, which I know I'm not going to stay at, and I have a rehearsal at 11, and I don't know.
Okay,
so I'll see, but
that'll be fine. So that'll get me, let Mother preach a little longer. But she don't have to watch the clock.
Well, truth be told, if she started on time, she wouldn't have to watch it anyway.
I know, but, you know, we got to give
her. Why she come on at 20 minutes after
7? I know, but, you know, sometimes.
Why?
Because
why
sometimes it's hard. She said it's hard for her to sometimes she be in so much pain that it takes her a while to even get, you know, to sit up or to get up to come to the room that she has the foam and stuff and the books and whatever. I don't know. I just go with the letter, you know, I don't push her to thing, or I just let her go ahead. But she only comes on the one day, and I'm not going to, if I say something, she may not come back anymore.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sometimes we run into Pastor Kathy stuff.
I know, but then a lot of times Pastor Kathy, she's like, she show up every other. So I don't get the, you know, thing with that. So I just let Mother go ahead on. Pastor Kathy.
Okay.
If she comes.
I'm saying I don't think I'm gonna do it, but if something changes, you know, I'll, you know, be in touch.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's
once
kind of
I
tight.
Yeah. All righty.
I think so.
Okie dokie. No problem.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Enjoy.
You, lady. Thank you so much. You too. And feel better.
I'ma try. I'm working on it, but it seems like no matter what I take, it's not helping. You know what I'm saying? It's because it's like a sciatic, you know, the whole side of the leg from the waist down to the ankle is pain.
Yeah, I know. I had that before.
Ooh,
but God
I wouldn't
is
even
able.
Worse. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And then
no,
my sister, she calls me and she tell me she's going through the same thing. I was like, what is going on? As soon as the weather changed, everything starts to hurt.
Yeah, I have another associate. She has sciatica, too.
Yes. That's why I said I wouldn't wish that on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get to the point, I just lie there and the tears be running, and I'm thanking God for just being here. And just telling him that his grace is sufficient. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just tell him to let
me ask you, tell me about this thing called, I know it's not a cramp, but Thoroworks. You ever try that?
No, I tried this new one they call Voltrum.
Well, this one is something that you rub on yourself.
Yeah, the new one I just bought. It's a
Let
cream.
Me tell you about what I'm trying to tell you about.
Okay.
The thing that I'm talking about, it's not you don't imbibe it. You rub it on. It says it's for muscle cramp and spasm relief.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get spasms with your sciatica.
No.
Okay.
I just get that annoying pain. I mean, pain, like it travels, you know, like it started.
I told you I've had it before, so I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Had it too. But this is, this is Thorowash, and they got the name all covered up. I'm trying to see how to, Thorowrx.
Wait. Spell it again.
Tho.
Thorowrx.
Thorowrx. You can see it on TV2 sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe ask your doctor if that would help with the sciatica. That before you, because it's like $20-something.
Yeah. I know, because the other one I used to also is $20-something.
Is that the rub-on?
Yeah, it's a rub-on.
Oh. Does it help?
For a little while, and after that, you know, the pain just comes back.
Because nothing's getting to the root of the cause.
Right. I have Tylenol arthritis. I have regular Tylenols. I have the time-release Tylenols because of the methotrexate. I can't take like Advil or the other one.
Aleve.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't take those.
Showing error.
Anyway,
okay.
Feel better.
I will.
Get some
Thank help. You.
All right.
I'll try.
Have a blessed night. I'll talk to you soon. God will.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.